now get into the final message of this entire weekend's series on the name above all names. Father, we ask that as we come to this message, this last message in this conference, this teaching, Lord, I am first of all excited and humbled to be in such a gathering of teachers with Dr. Mark Hitchcock and Pastor Kenny Quayles and Dr. Ed Heinsohn, Dr. Hawking, and Paul Wilkinson. And Lord, to have this message given to my trust this morning, I pray for the power of your Spirit to baptize us all as proclaimers and as recipients, that we would leave this church today different people. Dear Lord, don't let us be the same. May we be able to look back and say of our life, truly, by the power of God, we have grown from glory to glory, from grace to grace, until we awaken your likeness before your throne. Someday, we pray, even soon. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, we're going to be talking about Jesus as this conference has been speaking about and learning and teaching about the name of Christ. I think that's a great thing that Dr. Hawking has made it the theme of this conference, because Jesus is being lampooned in the world that we live in today. Jesus is being redefined. It's very vogue today to redefine who Christ is. It's very vogue today to redefine all kinds of words, but who is the Christ? What about the Bible? A lot of people think that they can redefine this stuff now. And more than ever, we need to let the Bible speak loud and clear regarding Jesus. Amen. Revelation chapter 22. Why am I going here? Well, this is where I want to end. Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 12. Jesus is speaking. The letters in your Bible are written in red. This is Christ speaking. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Verse 13, mark it. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The first and the last. If you had to break that down, that would be a study in and of itself regarding those three announcements. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Let's just say this now. We do no damage to the text before us. That in that verse, 22:13 of the book of Revelation, it is a collective delivery of the person of Jesus Christ. I am the one who, from the beginning to the end, am the featured character. I am the one, he is saying, that presides over the humanity and the history of it all. I am the one, he says, that from the very advent of God's plan to the conclusion or termination of God's plan, that it's all about me. Isn't that a radical thing to say? Listen, if we said that today, we'd lock you up. We'd take you away. Yeah, that's crazy. But Jesus Christ here in the book of Revelation, from glory, speaks via the angel unto John, and it is declared that he is the first and the last. What does that mean? And what does it mean to us? And in this age, in this culture that you and I live in, there are so many Jesuses out there. But church, you need to know or be reminded, some of you maybe will meet for the first time today, the true Jesus Christ. Why did I start with this closing verse? For this reason. In my mind, this is how I think my brain is wired. Doesn't mean that yours should be this way, but I think it works. Let me paint it this way to your heart. When I was a little kid, I would, during the summers, pack up a lunch. I would ride my bicycle down to the airport. And in those days, there were no fences around the airport. And I would ride my bike into the grass. I would lay my bicycle down. I would sit down on the grass, take out my lunch, and watch airplanes take off and land all day long. One time, a pilot landed, and he taxied around and came back, and he saw me sitting in the grass. And he opened the side door to that little Cessna 150. He opened the side door, and he said, hey, kid! You want to get in? I left that bicycle and that baloney faster than you can imagine. And I jumped in. And this is when it was great to be a kid without computers.
Yes. Yes,
the airplane's running. Think about this now today. Total stranger. The airplane's running. I run up, get into the passenger side. Don't know this guy. Click on. And my mom would have had a heart attack. And got on my seatbelt, and he said, are you ready? I said, I'm ready. I've always loved airplanes. I think I was 14 years old when that happened. And we took off. And from that moment, I was hooked. I determined right then and there, I am going to fly airplanes someday. And thank God, by the age of 20, I had gotten my pilot's license. And I was with my instructor. And we were coming in to land at John Wayne Airport. And every time I would land, I would hit, there was a little hole in the runway, and I would hit it every time. And he was a great old farm boy. Ralph Eaton was his name. And he's real quiet. And he said, you know, this is the third time you've hit that hole. And I said, yes, sir. I'm trying to avoid that hole. So I'm looking. I'm keeping my eye on it. Well, watch this, everybody. I'm trying to avoid the hole, so I'm keeping my eye on it. Because I don't want to hit it. I didn't know that when you're flying an airplane, whatever you're looking at is exactly where the plane's going to go automatically. If you look at the hole, you will land in the hole. If you look, and he said, listen, do me a favor. Look beyond the hole. Find something. Find a squirrel. Find something beyond the hole. Listen, everybody, spiritual application. Look beyond the hole, and you'll never hit the hole again. Guess what? We flew back around. I focused on something beyond the hole. Landed perfectly, missed the hole. Why? Because the very thing I was focusing on is the very thing I kept landing in. And when you focus on something smooth, you're going to hit something smooth. And when you focus on Jesus, you're going to hit Jesus. You're not going to get some false Christ. You're not going to get some other thing. You focus on Jesus, the Word of God, the revealed Son of God, and you will get Him every time. When you open up the Bible, you will not miss Him because you're looking for Him. That's why people today open up the Bible, they read all about the Bible, they can quote the Bible, and their life is so messed up, their life is so full of turmoil, they have no peace. Why? Because they're focused on all the negative stuff rather than the very one who is the first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Focus on Him. Vitally important. In these last days, Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, that many false prophets will arise and deceive many. For false Christ and false prophets, in verse 24, chapter 24 as well, says, will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible. Say, if possible. We've never done that before. I just thought it'd be good to do that. Why? If possible, even the elect. Listen, the only way that you're going to be deceived is if you get your eyes off of Christ. Because the Bible says right here, it ain't possible if your eyes are fixed on Christ. That's what that means. Oh, Pastor, don't you know that in the last days, even the very elect will be deceived? That's not what the Bible says. It says, if possible, which renders it impossible to those who are focused on Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's not about your church. It's not about your movement. It's not about your denomination. It's not about your club. It's about Christ, only Christ. And more than ever, we need to be focused on what Jesus is doing in the world. In 1 Timothy 4:1, the Bible warns us, Paul the Apostle says, in advance to us. Think about it. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. I do not believe that they lose their salvation. I believe they never had it. They entertained Christ. They kept focusing on the wrong thing. Giving heed, they gave audience. They listened to, they entertained, they wallowed in deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. Deception. Very important. So as we keep this in our mind, as we go through our study today, always know we're ending up with He who is the first and the last. That's where we land. First point is this. Regarding the first and the last, Jesus Christ, we learn this. That He's the answer to man's greatest questions, Jesus Christ is. We've mentioned this before, it bears repeating again. That Jesus Christ, it is He who is the answer to man's questions. The other day in the conference, I spoke about Jesus being the focal point, or the one who of the Bible says that in the volume of the book it is written of Him. The Bible says in Isaiah 48, verse 12. Now, if you're an Old Testament reader, and you all should be, Listen, if you're a Jehovah Witness, listen carefully to this. Seriously. Isaiah 48, 12 says, "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he, I am the first, I am the last." Yahweh, Jehovah God of the Bible, is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega, he is the beginning and the end. Everyone who's familiar with the Old Testament can say amen to that because they recognize that is none other than the God of Israel, the God of creation. He is the one who is the one and only God, as we'll see in a moment. He's the sole Savior of all mankind. The first and the last is the one who answers all of our questions, all of our needs. Isaiah 44, verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last." Look at this. "Besides me, there is no God." Now look, you may be sitting here today saying, "Well, man, you just kind of offended some of us from XYZ denomination, and then you just offended the Jehovah Witness by..." Well, if you're a Mormon today, let me offend you. This word doesn't say that he's the first and the last, and he's the only God of which in whom we have to do in this world. Mormons believe that the God of this world is Adam God. Did you know that in Mormonism? It's Adam. Did your Mormon friends tell you that? That when they talk about our Heavenly Father, it is none other than Adam in Mormon doctrine. This verse right here, among others, absolutely declares in the original Hebrew language that there's only one God. There'll never be another God. There were no gods before God, and that is, humanly speaking, God has always been. He's never been subject to time. In eternity, forever, there is no other. This is a critical issue, because if Donny Osmond can become a God, if you can be a Mormon who is then deified, which is Mormon doctrine, you've got to throw half your Bible away, if not all of it. Very critical. Look, I love you. If you're from a different understanding, a cult, a different denial, look, if you say, "Well, I don't know about this," listen, I love you enough to tell you, go to the Bible. Fix your eyes on the destination. The termination point of your life will be determined by what you think and what you believe about Jesus Christ. Is he the first and the last? Number two is that he's above and beyond all others. Jesus is. Isaiah 43 verse 10 says, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand." What is it, Lord, that you would have us to understand? "That I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." Again, he's speaking to us in human terms. He's saying, there is no end to me. And no one will take my place. Who is this I am? Who is he? Who is this first and the last? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Why is it important in the day and age in which we live in? I'll paraphrase it. All those of you who've heard this teaching or this passage of Scripture before, it rings true to your heart. Acts chapter 17, I'll paraphrase it. When Paul came into the area of Athens, Greece, he's there waiting for his missionary team to show up, and he takes a walk. He becomes familiar with the Acropolis and that region, that beautiful spot, that white, just glistening white rock of Mars Hill and all of those tremendous Greek architectural wonders. And he's walking around, and there's an avenue there, and on that avenue there are these pedestals or gods that are set upon these pedestals. And when he came to the pedestal that said to the unknown God, he says, "This is the one I want to speak to you about." And he begins to announce to them at the end of his message there to the Athenians in Acts 17. He says that it is this one who has made heaven and earth. When you look to the Old Testament and to the New Testament together, as you should read the Bible, this is none other than the creator of the universe, none other than the one in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And who is he? He's none other than the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one true God. And you need to know that if you don't know that. Oh, Jesus is one of many. Really? That's not what the Bible says. That's not what God says of himself. The third thing is this, that he is always and forever eternal. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, is eternal. Forever and always eternal. As I said a moment ago in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. And you say, well, the beginning, there's a beginning. There's a beginning. I think you guys need to go to the next. Yeah, that's right. He's always and forever, but check this out. Always, Genesis 1, this beginning is the beginning of the physical created universe. God was there. The Bible says that he spoke it into existence. You guys, I think it was last year, near the end of last year, Time magazine, I think it was Time magazine, came out with, it had like a human skull, kind of fancied up, technology-wise, had the back of a head like this, and it showed a chip and a wire going, and it said 2045, and the article went on to say that man is about to create, he's about to become so powerful that he's going to be creating worlds. And, you know, people look at that and kind of laugh, but then the believer looks at that and remembers what God said at the Tower of Babel, that nothing's going to be beyond man's imagination. He'll be able to achieve things. The sad thing is that technology is advancing so dramatically and radically that man, without God, begins to see himself quite deified, huh? And man begins in the laboratories and in other places to begin to think, wow, I think we can do anything. And we have conversations like this. We think we have found the fountain of youth. We think that this, and they go on and on. And they're flirting with the knowledge God has given, but they remove God from the factor, and ego sets in, and man begins to say, I can begin, I can create. But know this, no matter what man's achievements are, listen, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, you name them, they always create something from something that has already been in existence. Not God. God speaks things into creation, and he's got no parts in the tool chest to work with. Isn't it awesome to think? If God were to say, I need a hammer, when he opened up his hand, there would be a hammer. There wouldn't be parts of a hammer laying around. That's what man does. We pick up things and then create. Always, listen, scientists in the room, engineers in the room, know this. We always have to go to something that's already existing to build something, and then we run around and take credit for it. Didn't Nebuchadnezzar do that? Oh my, look at the great kingdom I have built. Can you imagine if there was a little record playing up in heaven? Maybe God's listening to, you know, Perry Como or something, I don't know what. And then Nebuchadnezzar down there in Babylon says, look at this kingdom I have built. And you hear the record go, what? And God says, Gabriel, Michael, what was that? What did he say? Nebuchadnezzar strutting around his hanging gardens and his beautiful palace. Oh, look what I've built. This is human nature. Not for God. He is forever, always eternal. And the Bible tells us, if we're going to be consistent, church, if we're going to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, what do we know about him? We know this, that whoever our biblical Jesus is, we can stand and say this, that he is eternal. Do you believe and understand that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, is the eternal God? And that's not my opinion. I'm not making it up. I believe that, not because I want to. I believe that because it is biblical truth. On what basis, Pastor, do you believe that? I'll give you one verse that ought to make your socks fall off. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, use it as a great test to discover who Jesus is. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, or Bethlehem, the little town in a village, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me. Interesting. There's one who's going to be born there who will come to me. When he's done, he's going to return to me. The one to be ruler in Israel. Oh, but wait, stop right there. Leave it on the screen. Church. Jesus, my Jewish friends will say, that can't be him. He died. He never got to be the ruler in Israel. Right? That's a good argument. I would say, take a pill. Calm down, slow down. He ain't done yet. See, we're so Now, drive-through. We want drive-through prophecy. Hey, that could be a good conference, drive-through prophecy. Just as I do a drive-by, just throw me the stuff. No. God, to him, 1,000 years is as a day. Look, to God who's eternal, 1,000 years can be as a second. What does he care? It's amazing. Look at the verse. Whoever's going to be born in Bethlehem is going to return back to God someday, and he will be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Look that up in the original. Do not believe my word when I tell you the declaration is eternal. Whoever's going to be born in Bethlehem will return to me. He will be ruler in Israel. He's eternal. Who could this be? Man, if you're a doubter today, think of that. Chew on that. Oh, you know what? Maybe somebody inserted that in the Bible. Nope. That was already in print before Jesus was born. 500 years before the birth of Christ, this prophecy had been given to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. New Testament, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, revealed to mankind, justified in the spirit. Jesus did everything perfect, resurrected from the dead, seen by angels, brought into this world, preached among the Gentiles, the gospel goes forth, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus said himself, I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, received up into glory. Isn't that great? So I don't believe it. Put all the evidence together. Just because you're 2,000 years removed doesn't mean you don't have anything to examine. Get out the evidence. You've got a great, great journey ahead of you. Examine the history, the archaeology. Examine all of this and look at it, and you will be overwhelmed that Jesus Christ is the first and the last. He's the only one you need. Colossians 1, verse 15 says that Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. That's who the first and the last is. The firstborn over all creation. What does that mean, firstborn? He's the first one to come into the world to live and to die and to be resurrected. Why? Because the Bible said that would happen. He's the forerunner of your eternity. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Say what? Jesus Christ is the creator according to Colossians 1:15. You ever heard that before? Verse 16, verse 17, listen. He's the creator of things visible and invisible. He made the atom. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, oh my goodness, he made angels. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, that is preeminent, and in all things, or all in him, consist. He holds it together. Jesus is the atomic glue. Number four, he is enthroned in heaven. Jesus is enthroned in heaven, the first and the last, the eternal nature of God. He's enthroned in heaven. You guys, you know, we're all hearing a bunch of news about the economy and stuff. And I don't know about you. Have we learned? I think we've learned. Haven't we learned? Well, the price of homes are going up. Oh, no, really? Was your house ever worth the money that they said it was worth? Let me rephrase that. Was your house ever worth the price you paid for your house? Right? Now, some of us old people, it doesn't matter to us if the market goes up and down. We bought our home so long ago for such a little amount of money. I bought a house in Chino Hills. Nobody knew what Chino Hills was. And you bought a house where? Wyoming? No, Chino Hills. Kentucky? No, Chino Hills. Nebraska? So, you know what? I mean, it doesn't matter for me if the rates go up and down or whatever the... Yeah, we bought it for so cheap. It's ridiculous. Somebody comes by and says, your house is worth this much. Who cares? I'm not going anywhere. I'm in the rapture. I'm waiting for the, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, I hope. But it's location. Zip code. You ever hear this thing? Zip code? Oh, what's your zip code? And they look, oh. Isn't it funny? And it's like, what? Lady, I paid 90 grand for my house. You say, what are you talking about? Location, location, location. Right? Location. And so we hear the market going up and down and the rates and this and that. And what about, oh, the dollar's going to get stronger. And listen, Christian, put on your seatbelt, put in your mouthpiece and strap on your helmet. It's going to get nuts. Believe me. Did you hear what I said? Wake your friend up. I want them to hear this. I'm not a prophet, but it's going to get really, really tough. And you're going to be very glad in that day that you know the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Trust me. Why? Because of his location. Location, location, location. People are going to be running around, my gold, my gold. Eat it. Go ahead, eat it. Look, you could go right now. Look at the news. Did you see it yesterday? Oklahoma City, 112 degrees. Oklahoma City. Did you see the news? Remember a few weeks ago we talked about corn? Man, let me tell you something right now. You can go right now to Indiana, Ohio. What are some of the states around there? I should know this. Iowa. Even as far west as Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota. Let me tell you something right now. If you were standing there, because the crops have failed, look at it online. No one wants to talk about it because it's terrifying. What are we going to eat? Corn has failed. And if you had a chunk of gold or a truckload of corn, what would you pick? Corn. You didn't have to think about it. But there's always people, I want gold. I want some gold. You can eat gold. You can even, use it in your teeth. But you're going to get hungry. And isn't it amazing? The Bible says in the last days, during the tribulation period, we're not even there yet. In the tribulation period, people are going to work all day long for a piece of bread. Isn't it interesting? The Bible does not say they work all day long so you can have gold. That's the sound of gold. We ought to have a commercial. That's the sound of corn. What's amazing, I'm so grateful and thankful that you and I have a Jesus who is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is enthroned in heaven above, who will come back soon. We'll talk about that in closing. He's coming back. We pray in our lifetime. That would be awesome. I hope it's today. That my heart rate, my pulse calms down when I watch the news, because for the first time in human history, are you listening? This is a big statement.
Yes.
For the first time in human history, can I say that Israel as a nation has been brought back into her own land at the exact same time that the church and Israel are existing at the exact same time simultaneously? That's a big deal prophetically. And that the nations of the world are gathering against Israel to do what? To tell it can't be a nation anymore. Joel, the book of Joel and Ezekiel and Amos speaks about this. What else? That its neighbors are saying, Psalm 83, we are going to destroy Israel and push it into the sea so that it will never again be remembered as a nation anymore. Where's that from? Where did you hear that from? Huh? Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. That's his name, right? He just said it this week. And then the imam, the head imam of Iran. Listen, those of you who know this stuff, you know this. I can never say the man's name, but Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, which he is. Ahmadinejad. He goes out there and he goes, we're going to push Israel into the ocean. We're going to destroy them. There'll be no more Jews. We're going to kill them all. He said this. You know why he said this? Because the guy behind him is the Ayatollah. The Ayatollah this week reported by Memory, Middle East Media Report. It's the highest, most revered news source. They have news spies all over the world, and they sell their news stories to all the networks. Memory, MEMRI.org. Make it a favorite spot at your computer. You want to get news before the news hits the TV? Go there. What did the Ayatollah say? I'm not saying it. The Ayatollah said it. We will be at war. He's talking to all of his imams around the world. We will be at war with Israel, and Israel will be no more, he said, within the next 7 to 8 weeks. True or false? We don't know. God's in control. But for the first time, you and I can go down the prophetic list of hot topics, and they're all existing at the same time. And I got to tell you, prematurely, we always used to get excited. Oh man, this could be the battle of Ezekiel forming. But you know what? You know what player was always missing until now? Turkey. Yep. According to the book of Ezekiel, the house of Togomar was never involved. Now Turkey has gone nuts. Enderon is crazy committed to the destruction of Israel. Did you know that? It just makes me nervous that according to White House logs, Enderon and Barack Obama speak once a day by phone. Enderon is the most talked to national leader in the United States government. Conversations. It's in the White House log. Go to Bill Koning or Washington Watch. Bill Koning, who's a White House correspondent who reported on these things. What in the world's going on? Jesus said, church, 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 when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws near. Wow. I said, man, that's amazing. Hey, that's nothing. That's nothing. Read Ezekiel 36 and 37. Look at the prince of Meshach and Tubal. Find out where Meshach and Tubal is. You'll have a blast. Where is the location of Meshach and Tubal? The prince of Magog. Where's Magog? You look it up. Where's Magog? The book of Ezekiel says that the land of Meshach and Tubal and the prince of Magog will come against Israel in the last days when Israel believes that it's in safety. And the scripture says that the enemy will come from the most furthest point of the north against the land of Israel. And it lists, I think, 5 other nations by name in your Bible, in the book of Ezekiel 37, 38. There's only, and by the way, they're all Islamic nations right now, except one. The nation of Magog, the prince of Rosh. He goes by a title, G-O-G, Gog, not God, Gog. Gog is a political / military ruler of a nation. It's a title. It's not his name. It's a title. Who's back in power in Russia? He was never out of power.
Exactly.
But are you saying? I'm saying the Bible says that whatever nation comes against Israel with 5 other Islamic nations in the last days, the leader nation, it says right there in the Hebrew, it says that he will be a supplier to those other nations. The word is supplier. The word in English is guard. The word in the original Hebrew is a supplier. You see, you got to be making it up. Sounds too accurate, huh? Go look and see. You go look and see. And look and see whose aircraft carriers are parked off the coast of Tyre and Sidon right now. Look in the news and see what Russia said to the United States 3 weeks ago. Get out of the Middle East. You're a long way from home, America. Wow! Them fighting words. The only thing is, we can't fight. I mean, we can fight, but we can't fight. We're so stretched, so thin. All this stuff is... Isn't it interesting that Ezekiel says that when the battle takes place, it will be very quick. And it says that the nations will say, have you come to take a spoil and to attack this little land? Nobody defends Israel. God says no one's going to defend them. And the nations of the world file a protest. Read it. Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38. The nations say, why have you done this? Invading nations? No one does anything. Don't you love Bible prophecy? It's not if is it going to happen, it's when is it going to happen. I would look, wouldn't it be better if we could just rub a lamp or throw some pixie dust in the air and all of this stuff goes away? That's just not going to happen. Well, some of you Bible thumpers, you're always looking for you got the big 10-headed dragon behind this door, and you've got, the Antichrist rising up out of the swimming pool, and you got all this stuff going on. Hey, listen. I would much rather have things just continue on peacefully and wonderfully and quiet and all that kind of stuff. The only thing is, it's not peacefully, wonderfully quiet. You and I live in a bubble. And I'm fortunate to say that bubble is much of, I think, a deception. When things get tough, we take a drive. I don't know about you, but when things get tough with me, I need to take a drive. And I'll just drive down Coast Highway. I need to clear my head. Or when things really get tough, we go to an amusement park. A in front of muse. Muse, what does muse mean? Huh? To think, yeah? You're going to muse on this. Let's think. Let's think about the world situation. Ew. I don't want to think about it, so I'm going to put an A in front of the word muse. What does that do? Watch. Think, think, think. Unplug. You go think, think. That's what an amusement park is. Did you know that? It's a place, park, a location where you do not think. Did you notice what it means? Let's go to the amusement park. Come on. Let's go not think. Did you know that's what it means? And America's full of amusement parks. Why? I think it is a symptom. It's an announcement of something deeper. We don't want bad news. And if you don't know the Lord, all this is bad news. Even the first and the last coming back is bad news. But if you know him, why do these crazy Christians? They're so weird. They walk around. Oh, I pray the Lord comes back today. Do you know the world thinks we're insane? Because this is all they got. They walk around Disneyland saying, isn't life great? It's Disneyland. You ever seen a rat that big or a mouse that big? It's fake. Look, there's Pluto. He's not real. It's amazing. Bible prophecy, when understood, is a glorious thing. I love what Dr. Ed Heinsohn says. Prophecy God has given to us not to scare us, but to prepare us. Remember that. He's enthroned. The fifth thing is this. He is the one and only of the Bible. You cannot have, my friends, just in sheer logic, let alone theological accuracy, you cannot have multiple first and last, beginning and ends, and alphas and the omegas. You can't have two of them. Did you know that? You can't have three of them. You can only have one of them. He's the one and only. There's not another Jesus coming. Some of you need to hear this. In the 7th century, some spiritual manifestation appeared to Muhammad. He says it was the angel Gabriel. Where have you heard that before? And the angel Gabriel said that there's a new revelation that you need to write down, Muhammad. And he gives a new message to mankind. And I forget the year exactly, but 18-something, 1860s, whatever it was, there's a young man walking around in the forest of, I think it was New York. And he says an angel appeared to him. And this angel said, all that stuff beforehand is wrong. It's all wrong. It's all kaput. I'm going to give you a new way. Listen, you accept that kind of logic when God says in the Word, I have spoken, and this is my last word. It's my son. Read the book of Hebrews. I'm done talking. God says, read the book. Why? Because in the book, Galatians chapter 1, it announces, if Paul says, if we come back to you guys with a different message, wow. He says, let us be cast into hell. That's the word, Maranatha, anathema. Take us away, throw us in hell. Paul said that. He told the Galatian believers, if we come back in a few years and preach a different message to you, cast us into hell. And if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another or different gospel, another testament, another revelation, let that angel be taken and cast into hell. That roadmap, that GPS, my friends, was existing before Islam, before all the cults, before Mormonism, before Jehovah's Witness, all of it. And God is holding us accountable to know who the first and the last is, and you hold it up. When someone knocks on your door or meets you at the park or talks to you at the fair or whatever it is and they give some other message, say, man, that's a fantastic. You're fantastic. You standing right there telling me that there's another way? Reminds me right here, Book of Galatians. Listen to this. Let me read it to you. And you read it. I can't talk to you anymore because you could burst into flames standing right here. This predates you by thousands and thousands of years. Your new message, if it's new, not good. And we're suckers in the West for new stuff. Oh, it's new? Wow, what is it? I'll believe it. What is it? It's like Pelosiism. Pelosiism. Let's pass it, and then we'll find out what it's about. Let's believe in it. What is it that we're believing in? What is it? Are you crazy? The first and the last is here, and he's proclaiming, he's always been speaking, and he says, look to the book, in the volume of the book, it is written about me. We need to know him. Well, how can he be known? He's knowable. He's the God, Yahweh. He gives us his name. He says, you can know me. Everybody else says, well, you can't really know the God that I worship. You Christians, that's kind of cool. You can know your God. Well, if you can't know your God, then what's he doing being your God? God says, know me. Not only that, God's the one who invented the statement, call me Father. Abba. Isn't that beautiful in Hebrew, Abba? I like the Italian, though. I mean, the Italian. Italian's Papa. Papa. Isn't it just warm? Beautiful. Abba in Hebrew. He's the one and only. Psalm 68, verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. Isn't that awesome? Don't you see big clouds under both of his feet, and he's riding clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. That's his name. Yah. His name's not God. He is God. His name is Yah. What's your name? Everybody on the count of three, shout out your name. One, two, three. That's your name. You are a human. You are a human Bob. You are a human Carol. You're a human, but your name is Carol. The Lord says, I'm God, and my name is Yah. Why? Yah is root of Savior. I save. It's what I do. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. I love him. Isaiah 42, 8. Think about this. Think about the Trinity of God when I give you this verse. I am the Lord. That's his name right there. Yah. In Hebrew, it's Yah right there. You see capital L-O-R-D. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. In the Trinity of God, we worship one God who manifests himself in three persons. I don't understand that. But I know this, he's one. And he is Yah. And your salvation was lived out 2,000 years ago in this earth. Jesus walked the earth. Salvation walked the earth. Philippians 2:10, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on the earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Put those two verses together. I will not share my glory with another. And then God turns right around and says that my Son, and for that matter, we've already heard that the Spirit says in the last days, deception will come to people. The Holy Spirit, the Son of God, God the Father, the three persons of the Trinity, says, I will not share my glory with another. No fourth glory, no second God. Sixth and final point is this. I think it's the final point. Oh, yeah, it is the final point, but it's a long one. But I have 4 minutes and 52 seconds, so here we go. And please don't take this wrong, but he is the self-proclaimed Messiah. We don't like the term self-proclaimed. He's a self-proclaimed this or a self-proclaimed that. Listen, you know what? We despise that because people can't pull it off, right? You know who pulls it off every time? The Lord. He is the announcement to mankind that he is the Messiah. The first and the last is the Messiah. Here we go. Write it down. You guys okay? Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, Yah. And besides me, there is no Savior. Okay, just from that verse alone, how many Saviors are there, class?
One.
Only one. Are you sure? Good. Grandma can't die for you and save you. You know, my grandma prays for me. I'll be okay. Nope. And if I can be baptized in the name of somebody else, we talked about this before, then that makes me a savior. If I can be baptized for you and get you into heaven. False doctrine. Ain't gonna happen. Well, my grandfather was a tremendous preacher. What does that have to do with anything? Maybe your grandfather's in heaven, but what about you? One Savior, and you come with absolute, honest, reckless abandonment to the foot of the cross, and you say to him, Lord, I recognize you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I cannot save myself. Jesus, I need you as my Savior. You died on the cross and rose again from the grave. You fulfilled the prophetic scripture of the Word, and that which is unfulfilled, I have absolute confidence you will fulfill all of your promises to me. And I put my trust in you, my God, my King, my Lord, my Alpha and the Omega, my first and the last, my beginning and the end. Hosea 13:4, yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. Isaiah 45:2, tell and bring forth your case. I like when God talks like that. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Look at the question mark there. Who has told it from that time? Anybody, he's saying, anybody know the future in advance? Have the guy come up here. I want to ask him a question. Have not I the Lord Yahweh? There's his name again. And there is no other God beside me. A just God and Savior. There is none besides me. Philippians 3:20. Remember, there's only one Savior. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 21:6. Am I going too fast? Too bad. I got to go get the tape. Revelation 21:6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Here we go, Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, says John, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand upon me, and he said to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Next verse, verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Revelation 2:8, and the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. The first and the last is eternal, and the first and the last died, and the first and the last rose again from the grave. Who says? Bible says. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, says John, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 44:6, you heard it earlier. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I'm the last. You can only have one. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, that we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Here we go, coming in for a landing. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What should we be doing then? As we come into land, we're looking beyond the bumps. We've got the Word of God open. We're on track. What do we do? Be looking. Isaiah 45:2, look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Look to him. It's free to look. You can look. It costs nothing to look. Look at him. Be listening or be hearing. Acts 13:8, and when the Gentiles, non-Jews, heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. What does that mean? God knew those who would say yes to his message when presented. Do you know what to do with this message? It begins by looking, hearing, thirdly, believing. John 1:12, but as many as received him, do you want to receive him? To them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You can believe. If you're listening, just look to him. And then what? Act upon it. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out or turn away. What do I do about it? Decide. Romans 10:8. And what does it say? The scriptures? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That word that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. We're almost done. Philippians 2:10. Our wheels are about 6 inches off the ground now. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, spiritual realm. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Touchdown, Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is, who was, what does it say? Who is to come. Who's coming? The Almighty. The Almighty's coming back. Are you ready to meet him? Do you know him? So where do I sign up? You don't sign up. You open up your heart. Close your Bibles. Bow your heads. Listen, if today you have proclaimed yourself and traditionally you view yourself as a Christian, great, but you better be sure. As I look around this world scene, Jesus says, look up. When you see these things begin to come to pass, all the players are there. I'm excited. Well, what if evil breaks out? What if people start killing Christians? Well, then we're just like the rest of the world. My dear friends, listen. Life is way, way, way further beyond the tip of your nose. If we die by persecution, if something ruptures, or we get raptured, we see the Lord. If you're not a Christian today, why are you not a Christian? You have no excuse, honestly. You do not have an excuse. Don't email me and tell me your excuse. It's absolutely garbage. Your excuse is stupid. He loves you. He's crazy about you. But that won't get you into heaven alone. He died for you, but you've got to believe in him. He's provided everything, but you have the power to say, I don't want you. And you leave him knocking at the door of your heart. Don't be like that. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Father, we pray the urgency. We have no guarantee of next service taking place. Oh, man. Right now, the sun that's starting to rise can actually and absolutely be put in its shame when the face of Jesus appears in glory. We could meet you in a moment. And Lord, if it were to happen right now, there would be those in this sanctuary probably possibly left behind because they never trusted you. Right now, where your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you would say to Christ Jesus right now, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and last, you would say to him, now, I believe you died and rose again from the grave. I believe that you are the one whom the Bible says you are, not what my neighbor says you are, not by what Pastor Jack says you are, what Billy Graham says you are, but some book. No, you are the one, I believe, whom you say that you are. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to make me a believer, Lord Jesus. I choose now to put my trust in you. Wash away my sins. Come into my life, O God, and be the King of my life. I love and worship you now. And Jesus, I look forward to the rest of my life getting to know you through your book. Father, bless this church as it is in a moment infused out into the world. May you light these believers on fire. And Lord God, may we all live in the imminency of your return. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Man, if you chose Christ today, then welcome to